It's a pleasure to be here with you today, and I send warm greetings from the saints at Lake Sherwood in Orlando, and we adore your church and your pastor. It was only a little bit, almost a year ago, that I was here and joined Presbytery at your hospitality, and so this is a wonderful place with great memories, and I'm honored to be able to bring the Word of God this morning. Today we'll be looking at 2 Timothy, so if you turn in your Bibles there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Reading 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 13. This is a letter of Paul, who was in prison, to Timothy. Begin at verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation as in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Thus ending the reading of God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Lord God, thank you for your word, words of hope, instructions for life, and revelations of yourself, that we can love you more. Teach us this morning that we may desire greater godliness and delight in you all the more. In your son's name, amen. There's one exhibit that I once witnessed in my days at college that I will never forget. It was in the convention center. I was running an event, and it was for a World War memorial event. And as you entered the doorway, posted on the wall were many different letters, maybe hundreds, all decorated in great detail. Many had the covers of the envelope painted or drawn or colored. And so much time, so much effort had went into these letters from the battlefield. Letters to those at home that they cared about. And though their lives, they awoke each day on the battlefield facing the horrors of war, they remembered their girlfriends or their wives or their families back home. And these letters were a testimony to the great love that they had as remembered those at home. In fact, I'm not surprised that if these letters and these memories of loved ones were the strength that kept these particular soldiers going, what care that they put into these letters from war. 2 Timothy is a type of well-crafted letter written by Paul to his beloved child Timothy, beloved child in the faith. Paul was a soldier of Jesus Christ, and he's writing to Timothy, urging him to also fight the good fight, to suffer if needed, but to endure all things for the salvation of the elect. And how would Timothy endure all things? Paul gives Timothy this advice: remember Jesus Christ. He reminds Timothy of his heavenly home and his beloved Savior who is waiting for him when the battle in this life is done. In the midst of dying, of daily laying down his life, of suffering for the gospel, Timothy is to remember the one who lives and who reigns in the heavenly realm. He calls Timothy to remember two things about Jesus that he might endure all things. And so tonight we'll look at these two realities up close. The resurrection of Jesus and the reigning of Jesus as David's heir. And we'll see that in both Paul's life and also our lives as we too are called to endure all things for the gospel. So let's first consider this remembering of Jesus Christ and what that all entails for Paul. Look at verse 8 with me again. Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." Now, Timothy never met Jesus when he was here on the earth. He doesn't have a memory of the past of Jesus, a personal experience. He only knows Jesus through Paul's words. It's much like ours. We know Jesus through the Word of God, through the descriptions of Paul and the other apostles, how their personal encounters and their words to us. And Timothy was the same way. He remembered Jesus Christ by Paul's words. Now, Paul said a lot of words about Jesus, and probably more than we have in Scripture that Timothy heard about Jesus. We only have a small sampling of that which Timothy might have heard. As Timothy traveled with Paul on various missionary ventures, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in each of the cities. Paul would have reminded Timothy of Jesus' sufferings and humiliation. This could have been an example of a motivation for Timothy to endure all things. Paul could have emphasized the sufferings of Jesus, and it's helpful to do so. He doesn't do it here. He did in Philippians. But he doesn't do it in Timothy. Instead, Paul drew Timothy's attention to Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead and reigning as king. These are the two things that he wants Timothy to particularly remember when he is gone and Timothy helps fill his shoes in the ministry. And these two things are a summary of the gospel for Paul. Listen to what Paul wrote to the letter to the Romans and see if you can pick out some familiar words. Paul wrote, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead." Notice here too, in Romans, Paul speaks of the gospel account of Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of David, and that one who was resurrected from the dead. Those two pieces, the resurrection and the reigning, are part of Paul's gospel that Timothy would have heard and would have remembered. Now, it's not just the bare facts that Jesus was resurrected and that he reigns, but it's the reality of what that means for us and for Timothy, right? As we face today, as we face in the days to come suffering, it makes a difference that Jesus was resurrected and that He reigns in heaven. It matters that He is alive now for us to endure the things of this world. The reality is that Jesus conquered death, raising from the dead, but also rising beyond the reach of death so that He could never again die. It's not like Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, who later died. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose to life forever. And Jesus Christ is the Messiah as well. In order to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah, He had to be the offspring of David, but He also had to be able to live forever. That was a requirement. And the only one who fulfills that is Jesus Christ. The covenant promise to King David is that one of his offspring would reign forever. Listen with me to 2 Samuel 7, the promise to King David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will rise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. That's the promise. And the reality is that Jesus Christ not only lives, but that He reigns as the offspring of David with all the authority of heaven and earth. And notice, thirdly, the mission of the king. It's included in the covenant with David. Jesus, the king, is building a house or a church to God's glory. One who lives, one who reigns, one who is building a house for God's glory. Remembering Jesus is more than the facts or of an empty tomb or a diagram of the family tree of David. Paul is wanting Timothy to remember the reality of the resurrection and the reigning Jesus Christ, who lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father, ruling as King of history and building His church through the faithful soldiers like Timothy, like us. And so as Timothy remembers what Paul has taught concerning Jesus Christ's resurrection and reigning as Messiah, it will help him endure all things as he suffers for the gospel, for the salvation of the elect. And so this is what it means to remember Jesus Christ, the reigning and rule and resurrected Savior. But how did this remembering help Paul endure? He's given this advice to Timothy. What was his life like that helped him endure by remembering Jesus Christ? So secondly, we'll look at Paul's enduring. Look with me again at the verse 9 and 10. Paul says, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also attain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul's suffering for the gospel was real. You know of his life and his suffering in his accounts of shipwrecks and stonings and persecutions. And even here, he's in chains as a criminal. The word used for criminal is the same word that's used for the two criminals that died next to Jesus on the cross. It's that kind of criminal that Paul is being referred to as. In the eyes of the government and society, Paul was a danger. He was a threat to that kind of life, to their life. And therefore, he was deserving of death. But Paul remembered Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Paul trusted, even though he might die in the body, and even though he was called a criminal, his death would only mark the beginning of Paul's life eternal. He trusted in the resurrected Jesus. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul was remembering Jesus and looking to his resurrection and his resurrected home. He suffered in the body. He looked for heavenly life. But he also endured for the elect. He didn't just suffer to suffer. He suffered for the sake of the saints. He suffered for the sake of those who would come to know the gospel, if not now. Paul did everything for the sake of the elect, that they would also might attain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. That's why he suffered. He was confident of his salvation in Christ and of life of eternal glory after death as he remembered the resurrected Jesus. And Paul endured all things so that others would experience this same kind of spiritual and physical resurrected life as well. He knew the mysteries of Christ, and he was willing to suffer so that others may know those as well. The joys, the hope of the gospel. Paul suffered, he endured for the saints, but he was also part of this building process of the church. The Messiah's mission was to build a house for God's glory, and Paul was part of that process. Now, Nero, the governor in Rome, the king in Rome, may have felt threatened by the rise of Christianity and the loyalty of King Christ, a threat to his power. And so one way to get rid of a new movement is to kill off the leader. And perhaps that is why Paul finds himself in prison, facing execution. But Paul remembered Jesus Christ as the reigning king, and Paul knew that even if he was bound in chains physically, even if he was silenced by death, that Christ's word would not be bound and it would not be silenced. Paul exclaims in verse 9, "But the word of God is not bound." Praise the Lord. Because Christ rules with all authority in heaven and earth, he will not let his word die, even if his servant must die. He will orchestrate, God will orchestrate the means for it to be passed on, entrusted to other faithful men, so that all the elect from every nation and generation will come to know the salvation of the resurrected and reigning Jesus Christ. Christ will build his house or church, and his kingdom will last forever. This too motivated Paul to endure the suffering as a soldier in order to spend even his final days proclaiming the gospel to the elect. Paul didn't know who the elect were. He just told everyone about Jesus and trusted that the offspring of David, ruling in heaven, would use his words to bring the elect from spiritual deadness to newness of life. He remembered and trusted Christ to build his church through him. Well, Paul suffered and he endured and he was to the last breath building the church of Christ. And what enabled him to endure was to remember Jesus Christ resurrected and reigning as King. And so what about us? How does remembering Jesus Christ enable us to endure all things for the gospel? Look with me at verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let's look at each of these stanzas in turn and unpack them as in closing. Now, this could have been a hymn or a creed of the church. We're not really sure. But Paul uses this trustworthy saying to summarize his message to Timothy. And this message is for us today as well. First, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Now, this is true in a physical sense. As Paul explained more fully in 1 Corinthians 15, he writes, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." The resurrection of the bodies in the last day. Not only is Christ alive now in a glorified body, but Christ's resurrection is a foretaste of the glorious resurrection of our own bodies when Christ returns again. The physical resurrection is only possible if we also experience spiritual resurrection. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life." The point is this. Not only is the reality of the resurrection that Jesus is alive, but we too are alive in Christ. When we first come to Christ, we are spiritually dead, brought then to newness of life. In everyday sense, as we now live in union with Christ, we die to ourselves. We die to the sin that remains so that we might live for Christ, for God's glory, and for the salvation of the elect. And one day, the newness of life that we experience in just droplets today will be experienced in the full fountain of living water when we are physically in this life. We leave the physical of this life and enter the life to come. There's newness of life in Christ today. Already, there's so much more yet to come. As Christian soldiers, we can endure the hardships of this life because even in our darkest hour, we have life in Christ. No one or nothing can take that away from us. Second, Paul says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Remember Jesus Christ. He suffered in this life in perfect obedience to the Father, even death on the cross. And now he reigns as the offspring of David. Our path is very similar. We are called to suffer as soldiers of Christ, living godly lives of obedience, dying to ourselves and the pleasures of this world for the salvation of the elect. It's not just for ourselves. And if we endure, if we are not only bear our calling without complaining, but embrace it in the strength of God's grace for the salvation of the elect, then we will reign with Christ as well. Think of the irony. We may feel powerless right now in our suffering, relying only on God's grace to help us endure. But not only is God in control of all things that are happening in our life, what is happening in our lives, even the suffering, even the hardships, are preparing us to one day reign with Him in heaven. Paul wants for us to look towards our heavenly home and remember the realities of Jesus Christ and know that those realities involve us who are united to Christ so that we can better endure the sufferings and hardships of this world as ones proclaiming and living out the gospel for the building up of the church. Living to Christ, enduring and reigning with Him. And third, the sad reality that there are some who will deny Christ, even with the glories of the gospel before them. They will live their lives intentionally forgetting Christ. They will deny His resurrection and the need to die with Christ in order to live with Him. They will deny the resurrection of the dead, thinking that this life is all there is, no eternal glory to strive for. They will deny Christ rule and reign and deny His authority over their lives. It happened in Ephesus where Timothy was ministering. Paul mentioned that all of Asia turned away from him in his need when he was in trial and then imprisoned. And it happens in our day as well, in our cities, in our neighborhoods. Paul writes that if we deny him, he will also deny us. And this agrees with the words we find in Matthew from Jesus. It says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now this is a permanent denial. This is a person who refuses to die to self and to live to Christ. This is a person who lives in the false reality that they are king of their own lives and not the Lord. In the final stanza, we see the hope for the faithless. Sometimes we fall ourselves into this category. Sometimes we are ashamed of the gospel or of Christ. We are like Peter, who denied Christ for a time, disowned him for the sake of his own reputation. And many people throughout history of the church have been offered the option to recant of their faith, to deny Christ to save their life, and some have taken up that offer instead of becoming martyrs. To those that give in for a time, Paul offers these final comforting words. If we are faithless for a time, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. This is a surprise twist, indeed. This, my friends, is the grace and the mercy of God. He has promised us life in Him. He has promised us eternal glory in Him. He has promised us authority to reign with Him. And although we may not always keep our promises to God, He will always keep His covenantal promises to us. We may from time to time be overwhelmed with the circumstances of our lives, frustrated, tired, weary, even questioning what God is doing in our lives. We may in those times find it difficult to endure, to remain faithful, but God continues to preserve us, to preserve the saints by His great grace for His glory. Repentance, forgiveness, restored faith. This is the life of the Christian soldier who endures suffering for the gospel, for the one who serves a living and reigning King who is faithful to the end, Jesus Christ. Now, one application of remembering Jesus Christ that our Lord has given us and blessed the church with is the Lord's Supper. The supper is like a care package, if you will, from home, our heavenly home. It is a time to remember Jesus Christ and His death and His resurrection and His reigning as King of heaven. A time to die in Him once again and to experience life in Him as well. A time to be strengthened by His grace so we may endure all things for the elect. A time to reaffirm our confidence in His role in our lives, that He is building His church even through us. A time to repent of our faithlessness and rest in the assurance of His faithfulness. And so the next time you as a congregation share the Lord's Supper together, remember Jesus Christ. But today as well, I encourage you to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Him together, that we may endure all things for the gospel and the salvation of the elect. Let us pray together. Lord God, thank You for being faithful, even when at times we are faithless. May we always remember Jesus Christ, His resurrection and reigning as David's offspring, so that we may endure for the elect and the building of the church. May many come to trust You because of our labors as soldiers from today until Your glorious return, when we will find rest in heaven and see You face to face. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.